Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. And let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that each and every one had a wonderful holiday and that you stayed safe and enjoyed your long, beautiful weekend. Amen. And now I am going to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And let us pray.
El Elyon Jehovah, which means the mighty one, God, the Lord. You are the mighty one. You are our mighty God, the Lord. We don't have adequate words in our language to express the great and mighty aspects of who you are. So we repeat the words in an attempt to give you a semblance of what is due you. You know all. You are over all. You are stronger than all and everything combined. I praise you for your power, strength, and might. And I humbly bow before you to honor your rightful place in my life as El Elohim Jehovah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God.
Side.
Amen. Praise be to God. Ooh, you don't know what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. El Elohim Jehovah, pardon my iniquities, for they are many. I confess that I have not always honored you as the mighty, powerful, and strong one over all. Too often I place my own wants and desires above seeking what you want and desire in and through me. Forgive me for boxing you in, try to figure you out, or predicting what you will do rather than acknowledging that you are the Lord God of gods. You know and see everything and deserve the highest place of respect in my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song. Go like this.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve.
Come on, y'all got it. Come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah belongs to you.
Then we simply say, you deserve. Say it, church.
You deserve.
From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord, yeah.
You deserve it.
All of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory, Lord.
Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord.
Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord.
Oh,
together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. So let us pray. Dear Lord, give me the wisdom to focus not on the distractions of the moment, but on the priorities that matter. Today and every day, Father, guide my thoughts and guard my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read.
So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need.
He looks like you.
Jesus looks like you.
He looks like you. Like you.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Prepared for Blessings. Prepare for Blessings. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 94, verse 12, from the New King James Version. And it says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Amen. God has a good purpose for every situation and stressor you encounter. This may appear odd to you today if your life is especially busy, painful, or out of control. But understand, there are no consequences with him. Excuse me, coincidence with him. He is the architect behind every blessing. That comes your way. And many times that begins with helping you understand how weak you are on your own. This is why you don't have to wonder if God truly has a plan for your life. He does, to a detail you cannot begin to conceive. So that extra assignment, that painful reminder, that conflict, that added challenge, none of it is a surprise to him. In times of trials and sorrow, take heart that he has allowed your difficulties to bring some deeper understanding of him to you. He is in the midst of blessing you with the development of your character, faith, hope, and some good gifts that will remain with you forever. The Lord your God is preparing you for a blessing, not necessarily in a material sense, but spiritually and emotionally. So don't despise the pressures and trials. Rather, embrace them with his grace and keep watch for all he will do for you. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Preparing for a blessing. Let us pray. Jesus, I trust you. Thank you for blessings you give me through these trials. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
You came to change my life. You thought I was worth leaving.
Dear God, I want to thank you for your mercy and your abundance of promises fulfilled. I ask for you to take my hand and lead me in the ways you best see fit and fill my heart with kindness you bestowed upon me. As you are impartial, please help me to treat all as equal, whether faced with fortune or adversity. Please allow all that I do while on this earth bring nothing but praise and glory to your name. I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. Praise be to God.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
He is worthy. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, free me from anger and bitterness. When I am angry, I cannot feel the peace that you intend for my life. When I am bitter, I cannot sense your presence. Keep me mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. Let me turn away from bitterness and instead claim spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, withholding.
Come on, you say.
I surrender.
Praise God. Study his word. In 1 Timothy 4:6, and the CSB Bible says, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Amen. God's word is unlike any other book. The Bible is a roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. As Christians, we are called upon to study God's holy word, to trust his promises, to follow its commandments, and to share its good news with the world. As women who seek to follow in the footsteps of the one from Galilee, we must study the Bible and meditate upon its meaning for our lives. Otherwise, we deprive ourselves of a priceless gift from our Creator. God's holy word is indeed a transforming, life-changing, one-of-a-kind treasure and a passing acquaintance with the good book is insufficient for Christians who seek to obey God's word and to understand his will. The Bible is God's word to man. Weave the unveiling fabric of God's word through your heart and mind. It will hold strong even if the rest of life unravels. I need the spiritual revival that comes from spending quiet time alone with Jesus in prayer and in thoughtful meditation on his word. God can see clearly no matter how dark or foggy the night is. Trust his word to guide you safely home. The Bible became a living book and a guide for my life. On your bookshelf, you have God's roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. How you choose to use your Bible is, of course, up to you. And so are the consequences. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and the CSB tells us, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped, and every good work. In Romans 1:16, and the CSB says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. In Matthew 4:4, and the New King James Version says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:35 in the CSB says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to me. Let me use it. When I stray from your holy word, Lord, I suffer. But when I place your word at the very center of my life, I am blessed. Make me a faithful student of your word so that I might be a faithful servant in your world this day and every day. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play a selection.
God.
Amen. And again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. I will play another short selection while we're waiting. Praise God.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there's one thing I come to know, without a doubt, is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet. Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and he will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand the storm he was saying. Oh, Jesus, my deliverer, my healer, he will place your feet on solid ground. When you're feeling lost and you can't find your way, just seek the face of God and he'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust.
My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening, and we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Wonderful, wonderful. Are we going to get started? Is anyone else on the line with us?
No.
Okay. I'm going to open in prayer. Precious Lord, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble in your name to just give you praise, glory, and honor. Father, we are so glad for this opportunity to study your word, to study theology, to get to know more about you. Lord, we love you. We can do nothing without you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Bless everyone that's on the line, Evangelist Hilda, her situation, her family, health, wealth, everything that needs to be blessed and touched in her life. We thank you for doing it right now, God. Any listeners who need a touch from God, I pray that you would do just that in a special way, Father God. Lord, we love you. We just can't keep not saying that we love you. We have to say that we love you, we adore you. You loved us first, but we love you and we cannot do anything without you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just bring us the words to say, Father God, when we're in situations and we want to say something, allow us to curb our tongues if that's the desire that seems to be coming from us. Let us know when to speak and when to be quiet. So we thank you for that, and we know that you're able to do it. So again, thank you for everything, Lord God. We thank you for a beautiful day today, one of many we've seen lately, but God, this was a beauty. This was a beauty. Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and for what you're doing right now. Bless the sick and the afflicted, the homeless, the marginalized. Bless those situations in Syria and Turkey with the earthquakes, and give us clean water throughout the world, mm-hmm. Father God. Bless those who are just seeking you, and open the door and allow them to find you, Father God, and so you can lead them and guide them into all truth. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You are the best. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I receive that in Jesus' name. Praise God.
Bless you. Okay, we got to pick up where we left off talking still about the person of Christ incarnate. And this, again, is talking about God being made what?
Human.
Being made flesh, yes. All right. And we're at section D. He was called by human names, mm-hmm. all right? His favorite designation of himself was Son of Man more than 80 times. Mm. This name linked him to the earth and to his mission on earth. It focused on his lowliness and humanity, Matthew 8 and 20, on his suffering and death, Luke 19 and verse 10, and on his future to reign, pardon me, as king, Matthew 24:27. He was also the son of David, a title that linked him to his ancestor David and mm-hmm. to the royal promises to be fulfilled ultimately by Messiah. Paul called him a man in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. So we're going to take a look at those scriptures. His favorite designation for himself was what?
Son of Man in the scripture.
in the scriptures.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to take a look at Matthew 8 and 20 first.
Okay. 8 and 20. 8 and 20 says, "But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." No place. He's just
no place.
Passing through this earth like we are.
With
souls, saving souls, healing, and all of that. He has no time to rest, no place to lay his head. My Lord.
Well, he did get a chance to rest. He did get to rest.
Oh, yeah, right. Once or twice he rested.
Yeah, don't talk about it often, but, yeah, he did get to go to sleep because he was tired. And that was one of his human characteristics. He got tired, as we do, when we do a lot of things.
Amen.
So it says, Jesus was curt. Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best end, you know. Another follower said, Master, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have my father's funeral to take care of. So it's just saying basically that Jesus was letting them know, we're not staying in the best of comfort. All right, we're roughing it and toughing
it.
And no place to lay his head, as you said already. Let's take a look now at Luke 19 and verse 10.
Where it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Amen.
Right. And mine says, Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Amen.
Amen.
To find and restore the lost. That's why he came.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why he came. And now we're going to take a look at Matthew 24 and 27.
Okay.
"For as the light,"
excuse me, "for as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes."
He's going to come.
And when the lightning be shining everywhere, that's how bright he's going to be.
Oh, yes, yes. And mine reads, it goes 25 through 28. "So if they say, run to the country and see him arrive, or quick, get downtown, see him come, don't give them the time of day. The arrival of the Son of Man isn't something you go to see. He comes like swift lightning to you. Whenever you see crowds gathering, think of carrion vultures circling, moving in, hovering over a rotting carcass. You can be quite sure that it's not the living Son of Man pulling in those crowds." Amen.
Amen. Wow, that is powerful. Powerful. Wow.
So that, what does that mean, that it won't be the living Son of Man? You can take a look at 28 and 29. 28. What did yours say?
Matthew 24.
Yeah, the same one, same verse.
Okay. 28 says, "Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then
you
have that.
Huh? No, go on. I thought you were finished.
Oh, okay. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning, you know what I'm saying, among all the peoples of the earth, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
All right, so I just needed, do you have a commentary on that?
Yes. 24 to 28, right? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It says, Jesus' warning about false teachers still hold true. Upon close examination, it becomes clear that many nice-sounding messages don't agree with God's message in the Bible. Only a solid foundation in God's Word can equip us to perceive the errors and distortion in false teaching. In times of persecution, even strong believers will find it difficult to be loyal, to keep from being deceived by false messiahs. We must understand that Jesus' return will be unmistakable. In Mark 13 and 26, no one will doubt that it is he. If you have to be told that the Messiah has come, then he wasn't. 24:27. Christ's coming will be obvious to everyone. And 30 says, the nations of the earth will mourn because unbelievers will suddenly realize they have chosen the wrong side. Oh my God. Everything they have scoffed about will be happening, and it will be too late for them.
Right?
Wow. Ooh.
Right? So every eye will see.
Yes.
Him coming back.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that. And that's what it's saying, too, when it says, it's not the living Son of Man pulling in those crowds. That's going to be when he comes back in his glorious body.
Amen?
Amen. After the resurrection.
Thank you, God.
In a different body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you again for that.
That was powerful. Man,
even the
believers will be deceived. If you're a believer and you read it for yourself in the Word, right? In the Bible, it says how he's coming back. How is it that when he comes, you don't believe?
Because somebody has told them something that makes them feel that what they had read and seen with their own eyes is not so.
Man.
It makes them doubt.
Yes, but there's a but. You should know better. As a believer, we should know better not to believe what these human beings tell you. If God, if Christ says in his word, because he doesn't lie, and if he tell you in his word how he's coming back, why would you let somebody persuade you to think otherwise?
They have people that have been Christians all of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they even are of a certain age now. And all of that they have read and lived and expounded on, they don't believe it anymore.
Wow.
Because someone has come and shown them a different way.
And
they no longer believe what they read and saw with their own eyes now.
My Lord.
And you have people falling away from Christ.
Yes.
Because some mocker came and made them feel like, ah, that's just nothing. That's nonsense. Why you believe that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But every eye will see and
that's
every tongue will confess.
Hallelujah.
When he comes back, we will all know. We will all, whether you believed or not, we will all
know. Yes,
amen.
We will.
That's a good question. How can you turn away when all of your life or most of your life you've been informed of what's going to happen and how things work with Jesus?
Yeah.
People come along and make you change your mind. Change your mind. They think they're showing you a better way.
Hey.
You know?
Yeah. My Lord.
That
is a powerful scripture there. And the commentary, sweet.
Yep.
But you know, don't believe everything that people, if you don't read it in the book for yourself, don't believe.
Right?
Yep.
Right? We're going to go to first. Go on.
No, I was going to say, just like you said, everybody been, some people have been believers all their life, and then they allow someone else to get into their head. That's how the devil
works.
Yeah.
Tell them that it's not so. Why you believe that, you know, that's not true. This is what it is. This is what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, this is what it means. Not what you believe, but this is what it really means.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Eve in the garden when Satan was tempting her and telling her that you won't surely die. Did God say you would die? Hey.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for answering
sounded
my question.
It sounded good. You're welcome.
Amen.
1 Timothy 2:5.
Okay, 1 Timothy 2:5 says.
And let me just add to that. That's called apostasy. Where people once were believers and they get turned away, or they turn away from the word.
All
they know what it is, but they turn away.
Yes. Okay, 2:5 says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. That's it. The only one.
Amen. And mine starts at 4, and it says, he wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth. We've learned that there's one God and only one, and one priest mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually, the news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work, getting this news to those who have never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth. And as we were saying, sometimes that simple faith and plain truth gets misconstrued and lies come out and the people believe the lies rather than the truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Dress it up and give you statistics. Oh, we got X amount of millions of followers. And that's nice.
Oh.
That's really nice. But I still believe... I still believe in what I was taught and what the Holy Bible says.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care what other people say to me. If I don't see it in God's word, in his book, I'm not believing. I'm like, that's your belief. Your belief and my beliefs are two different beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And that's something man made up. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what God says.
Exactly.
Moving right along. Section 3. The union of deity and humanity in Christ incarnate. So this means what, if anything, to you?
I don't know. Go ahead.
The union of deity, which is God, and humanity,
yes,
which is flesh,
mm-hmm,
in Christ, in the flesh. This concept of the hypostatic or one-person union of the divine and human natures in one person is probably one of the most difficult concepts to comprehend in theology. Not one of us has ever seen deity except as the scriptures reveal God, and not one of us has ever seen perfect humanity except as the scriptures reveal pre-fallen Adam and our Lord. To try to relate these two concepts to the person of Christ adds complexity to ideas that are in themselves difficult to comprehend. All right, so to understand the unity between deity, God, and humanity, Christ in the flesh, is a difficult and complex reality to understand and oftentimes to explain. All right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A, the meaning of nature. Though the English words nature and substance can be synonymous, meaning essence, we need to make a distinction between the two words for theological purposes.
Hmm.
If nature is conceived of as a substantive entity, then nature and substance would be the same, and the incarnate Christ would consist of two substances and would be essentially two persons, as Nestorianism held. But if nature is viewed as a complex of attributes, this error is more apt to be avoided. The single person of the incarnate Christ retained the total complex of divine attributes and possessed all the complex of human attributes essential to a perfect human being. What does that mean?
I don't even know. And what is that word, Nestorianism?
Nestorianism.
Yeah.
That's the one that talked about, I was going to say Nostradamus, but I don't think that's Nostradamus. Let's Google it, Nestorianism. One second. Don't say anything. Google it. Nestorianism. One minute. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nestorianism is a term used in Christian theology and church history to refer to several mutually related but doctrinally distinct sets of teachings. The first meaning of the term is related to the original teachings of Christian theologian Nestorius, who promoted specific doctrines in the fields of Christology and Mariology. What is Christology?
Hey, Christian.
We had that word before.
Oh, we did?
Mm-hmm.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot it then.
Okay, Christology. Christology.
Christ.
Right. The study of Christ.
Ology is the study of.
Right, and Christology is the study of Christ.
Okay.
Mariology is a theological study of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So Mariology seeks to relate doctrine or dogma about Mary to other doctrines of the faith. But I went on to something else, such as those concerning Jesus and notions about redemption, intercession, grace. Christian Mariology aims to place the role of the historic Mary in the context of scripture tradition and teachings of the church on Mary. I'm going back to Nestorianism, all right? Christian theologian Nestorius, that was a person. He died in 450 A.D. He promoted specific doctrines in the fields of Christology and Mariology. What is Christology again?
The study of Christ.
All right, and what is Mariology?
The study of Mary.
His mother, exactly. The second meaning of the term is much wider and relates to a set of later theological teachings that were traditionally, labeled as Nestorian, but differ from the teachings of Nestorius in origin, scope, and terminology. I'm almost finished. The Oxford English Dictionary defines Nestorianism as the doctrine of Nestorius, patriarch of Constantinople, appointed in 428, by which Christ is asserted to have been, distinct human and divine persons. So getting back to him being one with the nature of humans and God, humanity and deity. Amen. That's his concept, Nestorius, or Nestorianism.
He made it long, too.
The Bible gives the same thing, but they just cut it short. The dictionary. The dictionary says the doctrine that there were two separate persons, one human and one divine, and the incarnate Christ. It is named
You said the dictionary says they were two people?
Two persons.
Yeah, two people, two persons.
Yeah, separated. They were separated. Mm-hmm. It says the doctrine that there were two separate persons, one human and one divine, in the incarnate Christ.
In the incarnate Christ, okay, in the flesh.
Yes.
So that means he had two Jesuses?
No, I don't know. No, because...
If they are saying it was two persons, that's not just one. And in fact, the Trinity says there were three in one.
Right.
The Father, but the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And, they're saying that the doctrine that were two separate persons, one human and one divine in the incarnate Christ. It is named after Nestorius, patriarch of Constantinople, 428 to 431, and was maintained by some ancient churches of the Middle East. A small Nestorian church still exists in Iraq. So it's from Iraq. Some small church.
Iraq.
Iraq. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay. Now we know what
that's
that is.
That's the dictionary.
Yeah, that's the
view.
Dictionary point of view. Yes.
Right. That's not biblical, but that's the dictionary's explanation.
No, that's
We're going to go to point B. And we're going to stop a little earlier tonight because I understand we're having a meeting.
Yes, because I have to take my baby out, too.
What time you have to go?
Well.
You going before the meeting?
Well, the meeting is at 8:15.
Okay, they said 8:15?
Yeah, 8:15. You didn't get the text?
No, I didn't look for a text. I didn't know they had sent one. I got a text asking what time, what day I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get a time. But, okay, 8:15 is good.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to walk in? So you're going to walk in before the meeting?
Probably not, because it would be too, you know, pushing myself too far. He's only going right downstairs anyway. I don't have to go all the way around the block.
Yeah, so you might have time to walk him. That's what I'm saying. If it's 8:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get an understanding of. You're going to walk him before the meeting. Because otherwise, it would probably be after 9 o'clock, and, you know, he probably needs to go. Okay.
Yeah, and plus I gave him water, you know.
Thank God.
I don't know why I did that, knowing that we're going to have this meeting, so I should have never given him water.
You don't want to deprive him of his needed things, water.
No, because any time he goes to that dish and there's no water, he comes back and look up at me and says, what's the deal? Ain't no water in my dish.
I know. They need water. It's not for you, it's for him. He needs water.
Yes, but see, he's not the one that has to get prepared to go downstairs. I'm on the
fourth. For his body, he needs water.
Yeah. It would have been
a lot.
I'm on top of it.
Okay, let's go on. B, the Chapter of the Union. The Chalcedonian Creed stated that the two natures were united without mixture, without change, without division, and without separation. What two natures are we speaking of?
We're still talking about the it just went out of my bloody head. We're talking about the oh my God, the word, the Nestor, where they said the two separate persons. Then what are we talking about?
That's what I'm asking you.
We're talking about the nature, which is,
about the deity and the humanity.
Right. Which is in the nature.
That's what we're talking about, the deity and the humanity. Okay, so the Chalcedonian Creed, and we read that. Remember that first big book that Robert got for us? Talking about the history of religion?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. That book was huge.
To my recollection, that's in there, too. So the Chalcedonian Creed stated that the two natures were united without mixture, without change, without division, and without separation. So this negates what you just read from the dictionary saying that they were two persons. This means that the entire complex of the attributes of deity and those of perfect humanity were maintained in Jesus Christ at all times, since his incarnation. So all of these, not all, it was just two, deity and humanity were in one person. That's not two people. That's in one person.
From
the time of his incarnation, from the time he was born. So there is no mixture of divine and human attributes as U.T. Chians taught. I hope I'm not mispronouncing it, but you see it. No change in either complex, as Apollinarians taught, and no dividing of them, and no separating them so as to have two persons, as Nestorianism taught. That's why I was saying you were talking about it being Nestorianism. No, that's not the topic of the section. The topic of the section is what I read, and Nestorianism is just a portion of one of the thinkers' ideas, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So orthodoxy says Jesus has two natures composing one person or hypostasis forever. It is correct to characterize Christ as a theoanthropic person, but not accurate to speak of the theoanthropic natures, since that would mix the divine and human attributes. Calvinism has held that the union involves no transfer of attributes from one nature to the other. Lutheranism teaches the ubiquity of Christ's body, which does involve a transfer of the attributes of omnipresence to the humanity of Christ. In other words, ubiquitarianism holds that Christ is present in his human nature everywhere and at all times. Luther developed this doctrine in 1527 through 28 to support his belief in the real presence in the Lord's Supper. Any idea about what this is talking about?
They're still talking, are they talking about, wait, he support his belief.
Let me take this call. Don't go in here. I'm going to answer this.
Okay.
Okay.
So then, okay, I think they're still talking about Christ.
The whole thing, the whole book is talking about Christ now.
Yes, but I mean this little section here where we just read, because it was saying like, you know, Christ still had his. Wait a minute. Lutheran teaches the union of the body within the term of humanity. In other words, holds that Christ is present in his human nature everywhere and at all times. So even in all of this, it's still him. He's not two separate people. He's one person,
right.
But he still
right.
has, yeah. Ooh. I got it. Thank you, Lord.
He still has one nature.
Exactly.
All right? He's God and he's man, but he's one person, not two.
Not two. So the dictionary
is
not right.
Again, if it's two, then the Trinity is going to be a quadruple.
Right.
Or quartet or whatever. It's not going to be three. It's going to be four.
Oh, no. It doesn't say four. It says three.
Right. Exactly. So, section C, the communion of attributes. This simply means that the attributes of both natures belong to the one person without mixing the natures or dividing the person. So, these attributes of both natures, human and divine, belong to one person without mixing the natures or dividing the person, without separating that one person into two people.
Right.
It's still one. Okay?
Still one person.
Practically
okay.
speaking, it is the basis for Christ being seen to be weak, yet omnipotent. What does omnipotent mean?
Oh. Omnipotent, all present? Okay. Omnipotent. I forgot.
All powerful.
Okay.
Ignorant, yet omniscient. What is omniscient?
All. Omniscient.
It's omniscient, not omni. It's omniscient.
Omniscient. Omniscient. all-powerful God. Go on. Go ahead. Finish.
I'm waiting for you to answer me. You didn't answer.
I know. If I knew the answer, I would answer, but I don't know
it.
Oh,
you're telling me to go on? I thought you called yourself answering it. So
no.
Omniscient means all-knowing.
Oh.
Omnipotent is all-powerful. And omnipresent is what?
All present.
Right. Everywhere present at the same time.
Okay. So
and that's what we just read a little earlier on, talking about him being everywhere at the same time in this one body. Right?
Yes.
Those are three attributes of Jesus and God that you need to know. Okay?
Okay.
You need to know that. As an evangelist, you really need to know that.
It goes, if I go to something else, then it's like, you know, even if I just read it and you just gave me the answer and we move on, then to come back to it, it's, you know, short-term memory.
Okay, well, you got to learn it because it's important.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to just write it all down and embed it in my brains.
Okay. I have said that attributes cannot be transferred from one nature to the other. To do so would change the mix of the complex of attributes and thus the nature. So if you change the attributes from one mix to the other, said the attributes cannot be transferred from one nature to the other. So if we got two attributes, which again would be the incarnate and or the deity and the human, we can't transfer them from one to the other. You understand that?
We can't change.
To do so. Go on.
No, to do so would change the mix of the complex, you said.
Yeah, that's what I was about to read, but I thought you had something on your own.
No. I'm listening. I'm trying not to miss anything because sometimes you'll be reading and I'll be talking and then I forget where you at. So that's why I'm not saying anything.
So we cannot transfer, or it's been said, not that we, but attributes cannot be change from one nature to the other. You can't make the deity human and you can't make the human deity, okay? So without mixing the natures or dividing the person. Practically speaking, it is the basis. I went back up to the next paragraph. I didn't mean to do that. I'm back down to where I'm supposed to be. I have said that attributes cannot be transferred from one nature, you see where I am, to the other.
Yes.
To do so would change the mix of the complex of attributes and thus the nature. If infinity can be transferred to humanity, then deity loses infinity and is no longer full deity. What is infinity?
I know what
never
it is.
Ending.
Never,
I just told you, never ending.
Okay.
Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and on
and
on.
On and on and on. On. Yes.
Right. What is finite?
Who?
Finite. F-I-N-I-T-E.
Oh, I don't know.
It ends. There's a specific point in time that it goes and then it's ended. Okay? Man's life is finite. We have a certain amount of time to live. God's life is infinity. His life is eternal. He never dies. He's always here and he will never die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to get the concept of infinity, it goes on forever and does not stop, does not end. Finite means it's a certain period of time for it to exist and then it ends. So if infinity can be transferred to humanity, in other words, if humanity can live forever, then deity loses infinity and is no longer full deity. So if humanity can take on that attribute of living on and on and on, then deity is going to lose infinity. It's not going to be able to do that same thing anymore, and it's no longer full deity, no longer full God. However, attributes of both natures must be expressed through the one person. Thus, the person can seem to transfer back and forth from the expression of one or the other natures, though the attributes themselves must remain as part of whichever nature they properly belong to. Thus, theologians have developed a system to classify the actions of the person of Christ with respect to origination of the actions. Hodge has four categories, and Wavrud has seven. Some examples include...
Oh, my goodness. Hodge,
like Dodge.
Hodge. And
Wavrud.
Wavrud? What is a Wavrud?
That's his name.
Oh, those are people names. Oh.
Right.
I was like, what the heck is that?
Uh-huh. So Hodge has four categories, and Wavrud has seven. So some examples include A, actions predicted on the whole person, like redemption, both natures being involved. B, actions predicated. I said predicted. Actions predicated on the divine nature, though the whole person is the subject, like preexistent, true only of the divine nature. What is preexistent?
Preexistent is something, I know what it means because we had it. Preexistence is pre-existence. Existence means it exists. So it was here.
Before. Like a preview, something you see before.
Yes.
Or pre-existence. He was always here. That's that eternalness again, which I was talking about a moment ago. He's always been here.
Yes.
He wasn't created. He was always here.
Yeah.
Okay. So like pre-existence, true only of the divine nature. This is again talking about who?
Jesus.
Amen. And C, actions predicated on the human nature, like being thirsty. And we know that Jesus got thirsty, right?
Yes.
How we know that?
Because he said it. I thirst.
Amen.
On the cross.
That's it. So, whatever help such a classification may give, it seems more important to remember that the person does whatever he does, revealing whatever attribute of whichever nature he reveals. He being Jesus. The person thirsted. The person knew all things. The person does not know the day or the hour. Isn't this something? We're still talking about Jesus.
Yes.
And probably the hardest one, the person died. Of course, deity does not die or thirst, but the person,
Jesus Christ,
the God-man, did both. And that's interesting that it says, person thirsted, the person knew all things, but the person doesn't know the day or the hour, and probably the hardest one, the person died. He knows everything, but he doesn't know when his father's going to send him back for us.
Right, because he did not reveal it to him.
I know. I didn't say why. I said that's something that he knows everything,
yes.
But he doesn't know that.
Right.
And he won't know it until, like you said, his father reveals it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So we're gonna ask you to bring us. Oh God, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we out of time. Anyway, I didn't even realize.
I was gonna take a break so you could go and walk Chico, but oh goodness.
Yeah, but I didn't even realize. I mean, it was getting so good. I didn't even realize that the time was running out.
I know. I looked a minute ago. It was 7:39, and now I look at 7:59.
Exactly.
We're going to stop at section D.
Yes.
And thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for clarifying. Oh, my God.
I hope I did. Because
yes,
as I ministered to you,
yes, you did. Go ahead.
No, you go on. Say it.
No, I was going to say that if I was reading the book on my own, I would have had to stop every second to go to the dictionary to find out what those words were.
I know, right?
Yes, and it takes up a lot of time, and
I
it's
know.
Frustrating. So thank God that, you know, you are a teacher. So you know
praise
what
God.
Those words are and to pronounce
them. Not all of them. I don't know them all.
But the ones that you don't know, you Google it. And
exactly.
At least you know how to pronounce them so the Google people can give you the answer. I would have been saying all kinds of things, and they would have been saying, what
God,
are you
awesome.
Trying to say?
God is awesome. So, again, thank you. We're going to have you pray us out, and I'm going to go and put that
yes,
on so I can go and
pray. Yeah.
Okay.
Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that was said tonight. Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the clarifications. Thank you for our teacher, Barbara, to break it down that we can understand. And I pray that all of our listeners understood what was going on, and that they also, those who know what the words are and those who did not. But Lord God, we thank you for her. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength, wisdom, and understanding.
Yes.
Thank you for your discernment, Lord God, to give us and to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We thank you again for this beautiful evening. We thank you for our families, our friends, and our neighbors, and we even thank you for our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you watch over each and every one here tonight, protect them from all hurt, harms, and dangers. Watch over
thank
their families, Lord God, and keep them safe throughout this time. Day, this minute, this hour, Lord God.
Okay.
And again, go down by the hospitals and nursing homes and jail cells and prison cells and juvenile homes, Lord God. Somebody is calling upon you, Lord God, for a touch, for a healing, for just to know that you are there beside them, Lord God. We ask that you bless them, Lord God. Keep them protected in your loving arms. And we also thank you for our pastor, Apostle R.D. Wiggins,
yes.
And First Lady Nadine Wiggins,
thank
Lord
you,
God, for our Reverend Bolden and his family, for Jake and his family, for Reverend Price and her family, and most of all, Lord
thank
God,
you.
Thank you for our teacher, Barbara A. Amore, and her family,
oh,
Lord
God.
Bless each and every one of us. Touch us all in a mighty special way and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Increase our finances, Lord God, according to your will. And we ask that you do all of these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and
amen.
To God be the glory. Thank you.
Good.
Well, at least stand up and
Blessings and kisses. Hugs and kisses to you, too. I said I'm going to get up and stretch my legs and stuff because Chico landed in his bed with his legs wide open.
See you on the other side by 8:15. And thanks again, okay? Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
And
bye-bye.
On that note, we are out.